Ja, to nedeljo med 12. in 6. na valovih Radio Študent program o čavizmu v Venezueli. Sledila bo serija kratkih prispevkov na različne teme, o katerih smo govorili pred 10 minutami, ko smo predstavili program. Začenjamo pa z zgodovinskim kontekstom, torej stanje v Venezueli v 80. in 90. letih prejšnjega stoletja.
Ja, lahko bi rekel pravzaprav, da so bile te neoliberalne reforme, ki so se začele odvijati konc 80. in v 90. letih, pravzaprav povod za vzpon čavističnega gibanja. Zdaj, to predčavistično obdobje se v medijih pogosto prikazuje kot neka zlata doba, kjer je ekonomija cvetela, potem pa je prišel Chavez na oblast in razdaral ekonomijo in nastala je kriza in ljudje nimajo nič več za jest. Zdaj, s takšnim prikazom se pač takratni delavski razred nikakor ne bi mogel strinjati, o čemer tudi pričajo končno množični protesti leta 89, ki so se zgodili kot odgovor na neoliberalne reforme takratnega predsednika Carlosa Andresa Pereza, s katerim je hotel pač privatizirati več sektorjev, ki so bili takrat pač v domeni države in pač več državnih podjetij. Zdaj, kriza se je začela pravzaprav že sredi 80-ih let s padcem cen nafte, inflacijo in tako naprej. Do 80-ih let so pa cene nafte sicer res rasle, blaginja je bila v državi, ekonomija je cvetela, ampak pravzaprav, kot razloži Chris Gilbert iz Bolivarske univerze v Caracasu, od te blaginje mnogi niso imeli prav nič koristi.
In the 70s there was an oil boom. The oil price went up internationally and there was a time of great abundance. It lasted roughly until, well, the point of inflection in history here is 1982, in which there is response to the economic crisis and the falling oil prices. There was something called Black Friday, and the government did a devaluation of the Bolivar, and that tossed the country into a giant economic disaster. And maybe that disaster lasted for almost 20 years, the following decades. It's a commonplace of Latin American history or historiography to say that there was that the 1980s was a lost decade, and maybe the 1990s too. Of course, the oil boom had really never affected the whole population. Mostly the urban centers and mostly the middle and upper class were the beneficiaries. But of course, there was some kind of trickle down to the popular classes. But all that dried up in the 80s and 90s, and there are many stories about people in these, especially in the barrios that surround the big cities, Caracas, Maracaibo, Valencia, that people lived in a real misery. They were reduced to eating dog food.
Padec cen nafte v 80-ih letih pa je v Venezueli pripeljal do leta 96 do kar 100% inflacije. Realne mezde delavcev, večine prebivalstva, so iz okoli 5000 dolarjev padle na 2000, število ljudi, uradno zabeleženih, da živijo v revščini, pa se je iz 36% povečalo na 66%. Več o ekonomskem stanju potem pove avstralski aktivist in novinar Fred Fuentes.
The media likes to present this image of a perfect democracy, a perfect economy, one of the richest oil countries in the world that Venezuela was before Chavez came to power, and presents today's situation as something that has never been before seen in Venezuela. Yet in the actual fact, what we saw through essentially most of the 80s and 90s in particular was triple-digit inflation, like we're seeing today. We saw scarcities of a number of basic products, like we see today. And we saw, of course, as a result of that, some very large social protests. But the political character of the protests that we saw in the 80s and 90s is quite different from the situation today. What we look back at the situation in Venezuela is very much dictated in the 70s. By two key factors that occur that have a very devastating impact on the economy in general, but particularly on the government, the state, and its ability to maintain a two-party system that for a long time had functioned relatively well in Venezuela. It should be remembered that through most of the 70s, even 80s, Venezuela was presented as this sort of model democracy for South America. It didn't have the kind of military coups and guerrilla struggles that were occurring throughout most of the hemisphere during those decades, and was presented as this is what a liberal democracy could look like. The problem was is that for Venezuela was that this was largely maintained on very high oil prices, with a very small section of the oil rent being redistributed in order to maintain the strong clientelistic networks amongst the two major parties that essentially dominated Venezuela from 1958, the fall of the military dictatorship, until 1998 when Chavez was first elected. The problem they encountered was oil prices began to fall as a result of the oil crisis in the mid-70s. And with that, a policy of an essential privatization of PDVSA, the state oil company, where although the company itself was never privatized as such, it began to be broken down into smaller segments in order to be able to be sold off. And a lot of foreign corporate influence was introduced onto the board of directors. So what we had was a situation where the government, previously being able to rely on a large amount of money to at least fund some social programs, found it had not only did it not have any oil money, but this transnationalization of PDVSA, state oil company, meant that what little money was meant to be coming in via oil wasn't even coming into the country anymore. And in fact, PDVSA was costing the state rather than providing revenue. This meant that over the 80s and 90s, we saw a devastating impact in terms of, a more than 50% drop in fiscal spending per capita, that is the amount of money the state per person was spending. We saw a devastating decrease in the real wages from something like $5,000 per month to about $2,000 per month from the mid-80s to the late 90s.
Torej, kot je omenil Fuentes, se je začela dogajati nekakšni prikriti tihi poskusi privatizacije tega državnega naftnega podjetja PDVSA. Ampak poleg tega so potekali tudi odkriti poskusi privatizacije, oziroma ne samo poskusi, ampak kar pač potem realizacija. Govorim namreč o svežnju reform, ki jih je uvedel Carlos Andrés Pérez leta 1989, kjer jih namen je bil torej privatizacija nekaterih ključnih sektorjev javnih in pa pač privatizacija državnih podjetij.
To je bil odziv, ne, na se pravi padec cen nafte in nekak nevzdržnost ali kaj javnih financ in pa se vsi ekonomije, ne, ki je z tega sledila.
Tako ja. Zdaj odziv na ta svežen reform so bili pa množični protesti iz tega leta in zdaj to dogajanje razloži Jorge Martin iz organizacije Hands Off Venezuela.
When President Carlos Andrés Pérez from Acción Democrática won the elections again in 89, he then implemented in February 89, when he came to power, a massive package of austerity measures, including, for instance, the lifting of subsidies on the price of fuel, lifting of subsidies on the prices of food, and a program of privatizations, which basically privatized most of state-owned companies that existed up until that time, with the exception of the oil company. This created a massive unrest, and in February 89, there was a massive uprising of the people of Venezuela, in which the government then used the army to smash the movement of the people. There was rioting, mass demonstrations, clashes with the police, and so on. This was known as El Caracazo. And you could say that the origins of the Chavez movement, of Chavismo, can be traced back to that time. Because there were a number of young military officers who were opposed to the idea of the army being used against the people of the country. And amongst them was Hugo Chavez. And so at that time, under the shock of those events of El Caracazo, where over 1,000 people were killed, the beginnings of the Chavez movement can be traced to that point.
Oficiri skupaj s Chavezom so v odgovor na smrtne žrtve v protestih, in poboju, ki se ga je kasneje prijelo ime Caracazo, so poskusili dvakrat leta 92 izvesti državni udar, so bili vsakič pri tem neuspešni. kar pa se je vzpostavilo kot tudi kasneje en izmed elementov čavizma, je bilo sodelovanje civilne družbe in elementov vojske, progresivnih elementov znotraj vojske. In v nadaljevanju bomo slišali lahko Fredo Fuentesa, kako razloži politični vpliv, ki so ga na dogajanje imeli poboji.
Anywhere from between 400 to 3,000 people were slaughtered in the space of 3 or 4 days, depending on whose figures you want to believe. We saw this social discontent ferment into the military as well, with two military rebellions in 1992, the first of which was led by Hugo Chavez. And then throughout the 90s, a very long, extended process of almost daily mobilizations and increased levels of organizational capacity building up in the poor neighborhoods that surround Caracas and in the other large cities.
Torej to množično gibanje, ki se je začelo v odgovor na te poboje protestnikov, je potem sredi in proti koncu 90-ih preraslo v tako imenovano gibanje za peto republiko, ki je nekakšen predhodnik Partido Socialista Unido de Venezuela, oziroma PSUV, torej stranka, ki je še danes pravzaprav na oblasti v Venezueli. No? Zdaj, od leta 1958, torej pravzaprav že skoraj pol stoletja, je pa politično pokrajino v Venezueli sta nadzorovali dve stranki, buržoazni seveda, Demokratična akcija in Socialna krščanska stranka, ki sta si to oblast delili na podlagi pakta Punto Fijo. Zdaj več o tem političnem razvoju in vzpostavljanju novih strank pa razloži Jorge Martin.
For a long period of time, since 1958, there had been two main parties in Venezuela, Acción Democrática, Democratic Action, which is a social democratic party, and COPEI, the Christian Democratic Party. These parties had basically shared power amongst themselves for basically 30 years, and they controlled the whole of the political system. In the 1990s, there was the emergence of other parties, like there was the emergence of Causa Radical, the Radical Cause, which was a left party, which attempted to rise up against the whole regime. And it was mainly based amongst the steel workers in Sidor. They also had a lot of strength in the capital, in Caracas. But later on, this party sold out and became a party of the regime as well. There was obviously the Communist Party, but it was quite small. There were a number of other left parties that had existed for a long time. The MAS, Movement Towards Socialism, the MIR, the Revolutionary Left Movement, a number of other left parties which were quite small. The Movement for the Fifth Republic is the political movement that Chavez created in the mid-late 1990s. Before the Movement for the Fifth Republic, there was another organization called the Revolutionary Bolivarian Movement 200, which was actually the organization that organized the 1992 uprising. Progressively, over a period of time, it was decided that that Chavez was going to stand in the elections in 98, and therefore the political party was created, the Movement for the Fifth Republic, because there was a technicality that the Venezuelan National Electoral Council did not allow a party that had Bolivar in its name to stand. So they created a name which was close enough because the initials of MBR, very close to MVR, for the Fifth Republic. So that's the name they chose for the political party that was to stand in the 98 presidential elections.
Predsedniške volitve leta 98 je tako ob podpori gibanja zmagal Chavez. Prve spremembe, ki jih je začel uvajati, so bile preko novo ustanovljene ustavodajne skupščine, ki je sprejela tudi novo oblikovano čavistično ustavo ter tako s tem postavila temelj nadaljnjim političnim prizadevanjem. Med Med novostmi zapisanimi v tej ustavi so poleg socioekonomskih zagotovil in socialnih transferjev bile vpeljane tudi spremembe podaljšanja mandata iz 4 na 6 let ter možnost zaporednega služenja mandatov. Poleg tega pa so vanje bila prvič v zgodovini Venezuele vključena tudi določila v zvezi z okoljsko problematiko, varovanjem in vključevanjem domorodnih ljudstev v procese odločanja in marsikaj drugega. Prvič pa je tudi Venezuelska republika uradno se preimenovala v Bolivarsko republiko Venezuelo. Sedaj se bomo po glasbenem predahu se bomo posvetili državnemu udaru leta 2002 oziroma prvim hujšim preizkušnjam čavistične vlade tekom svojega prvega celega mandata. Ostanite z nami.